Imago Day, a compilation.
God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. The fact that humans are made in the image of God is one of the most important biblical revelations for Christians. Imago Dei means the image of God. Ultimately, this phrase refers to two things: the characteristics of the human spirit and our ability to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Our human spirit provides evidence that God's traits, his love, justice, and freedom, are alive in us. Human nature is utterly without peer on earth. At the most basic level of this nature is our self-realization, which is grounded in our self-consciousness, our ability to reason, and our emotions, such as anger and love. Our consciousness enables us to see that we have inherent value apart from our utility or function. Another quality we share with God is the moral ability to recognize good and evil, which God showed through Adam and Eve. We can therefore act freely in a morally good or evil way. We can choose either to reflect the moral image of God or to reject it. But either way, the ability to make the choice reveals our underlying similarity to our Creator. It cannot be overstated just how different humans are from the rest of creation. The vast chasms separating self-realization from consciousness and morality from amorality speak to the strong evidence that we are indeed made in the image of God. Among all of creation, we are uniquely made in God's image. This reminds us that we were created with great value and for noble purposes, and that we have great potential. What worthy goal does God want you to pursue today? Lee Strobel and Mark Middleberg. What does it mean to be made in God's image? From the very beginning, God's plan has been to make you like his Son, Jesus. God announced this intention at creation. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image and likeness." In all of creation, only human beings are made in God's image. It's a great privilege, and it gives you dignity. What does it mean to be made in God's image? It's one of those concepts that's too big to fully understand, but here's some of what it means. Like God, you are a spiritual being. Your spirit is immortal and will outlast your earthly body. You are intellectual. You can think, reason, and solve problems. You are relational. You can give and receive real love. You have a moral consciousness. You can discern right from wrong, which makes you accountable to God. But there's a problem. The image of God in you is incomplete and has been damaged and distorted by sin. So God sent Jesus on a mission to restore the full image that you and everyone else ever born have lost. What does the full image and likeness of God look like? It looks like Jesus Christ. The Bible says God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his Son. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. The Bible says Jesus is the exact likeness of God, the visible image of the invisible God. And the exact representation of his being. People often use the phrase, like father, like son, to refer to family resemblance. When people see my likeness in my kids, it pleases me. In the same way, God wants his children to bear his image and likeness. The Bible says you were created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Live like an image bearer today, so that when people look at you, they'll think of how much you're like your heavenly Father. Rick Warren. Made in the image of God. Why does it matter? Imago Dei. It's Latin theological shorthand for the image of God. The core Christian doctrine that humanity, unique among the entire created order, was fashioned by God distinctly in his own image and after his own likeness. It's a teaching that echoes throughout Scripture and is anchored in the opening chapter of Genesis. But what precisely does it mean to be made in the image of God? And what are its practical implications for how we view the world and live our lives in our own cultural context? Value. Everything in the cosmos has value because it was made by God. But since human beings bear God's image, we possess an innate value beyond anything else in the created order. That is why every human life, regardless of its relative potential or accomplishments, is sacred from the moment of conception to the moment of death. It's also why virtually every culture throughout history has recognized murder as the highest crime one can commit against another. To harm or destroy another person is to assault the image of God in that person. Morality. God is holy, righteous, and good. Concepts such as truth, justice, right and wrong only have meaning with relation to God, and only exist because God framed reality that way in order to reflect his own moral nature. Unlike any other physical creature he made, God has fitted humans with the capacity to perceive that moral aspect of creation. Moreover, he has given us the ability to make moral choices for which we're accountable to him. This differentiates us from the animals, which merely follow instinct and are thus not moral agents. Love. God didn't make us because he was lonely and needed something to do. He is totally self-sufficient, and within the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead have enjoyed a perfect, loving relationship from eternity past and will continue to do so forever. Therefore, being made in God's image means we were built for relationship. At our core, our most fundamental need is to love and be loved. In a word, to belong. Ultimately, God made us in his image so that we might glorify him and enjoy eternal, intimate, loving relationship with him. Being made in the image of God is not some abstract theological concept. It provides the basis for how we understand and approach every area of life. Our view of human nature, how we treat people and the environment, the value we place on human life and human culture, are all grounded in our understanding of Imago Dei. In a secular world that has largely jettisoned the concept, it's vital that we develop our ability to articulate and defend it, as well as apply it to the specific challenges being brought to bear within our society. Subi Sertsky. Made for his glory. When thinking about humans being made in God's image, we can understand David's awe when he said, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." As we are rational beings, one question that naturally arises is why God made such unique beings as humans. Why were we created, and what is our purpose? Scripture doesn't say much about why God created humans, but what it says is as simple as it is profound. It says God created humankind for His glory. In referring to God's final creation of humankind, Dietrich Bonhoeffer expresses the purpose of this creative act. Humankind is here the final work of God's self-glorification. The world is created for God's honor alone, and humankind is the most precious receptacle, the very mirror of the Creator. It is totally for the sake of God's glory and honor as Creator that everything comes to pass. What does it mean to glorify God? The main Hebrew words translated as glory in the Old Testament mean honor, abundance, dignity, worth, reverence, majesty, splendor, and beauty. In the New Testament, the main word translated as glory in reference to God is doxa, which means splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellence, majesty in the sense of the absolute perfection of the deity, a most glorious condition. The second general way glory is used means honor or excellent reputation. When used in this way, it isn't speaking about God's intrinsic glory, but rather describes the honor which should be given to God. It's in this sense that glory is used when speaking of humans being created to glorify God. The word says that whatever we do, we should do it to the glory of God. It also instructs us to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The human essence consists of the material and immaterial, which together make up the complete person. When Scripture tells us that we should glorify God in body and spirit, it can be seen as guidance to glorify Him with all of our being, both inner and outer, physically and spiritually, in all that we do and are. It means that the actions of our life, our interactions with others, as well as all aspects of our inner or spiritual life and self, should glorify Him. We glorify God when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, when we do to others as we'd have them do to us, when we love in deed and in truth, and when we love, obey, and revere God and do the things He says, for this is the whole duty of man. As Christians who understand that the Lord desires us to live lives that glorify Him, which will be blessed by Him and will bless others, we have the opportunity to fulfill the purpose of our Creator in this life and to live with Him forever in joy and happiness, always being able to give Him the glory He deserves. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Peter Amsterdam.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.